Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I never knew that roses grew and skies were blue and gray. I never knew that breezes blew, what a summer breeze could say. I never knew that dreams came true until you went away. Oh, baby, I never knew what love could do until I met you today.
Welcome to Garden of Enlightenment with Luyu Wildove. Tonight we are going to be doing front page picks and open poetry. And I'm so excited because these poems are just so amazing. The ones that they have picked for the front page. And then, God, you know I love open poetry. So we're going to tell you a little bit ourselves. This is, I am one of the many groups from Late Night Poets. We have radio shows every evening and after midnight that are a little more risque. So if you're into that, check it out. All these shows are supported by poetry that was donated by poets from around the world. And you can find our books on Amazon. And just like our group name, Late Night Poets Anthologies, you can go there and check it out and help support poetry. So I'm going to go ahead and start picking up our callers and everybody that's hanging on the radio and also in our group, welcome, welcome, welcome. So here we go. I've already picked up two of my callers, Gray I. Smith, a Gray.
Hello, hello. How are you, Louie?
Hey, Gray. Welcome, welcome. And Katie also is one of my co-hosts, my right-hand girl, my right-hand man. Hey, Katie from Scotland.
The Bonnie Scotland died. Hello, my dear.
I'm so happy to have you. And our next caller is, which I'm sure you'll recognize it, it's Mr. Buttervoice. Is this Mr. Butter?
Bonsoir, Louie.
Bonsoir, Laurent. Welcome, welcome to the show, Laurent. And we have another caller. 707, who am I speaking with?
Irish Rose.
Hi, Irish Rose. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Nice and warm out here in California. Bonne nuit.
I'm tired of the cold weather. Everybody's warming up but poor Katie. She was telling me how warm it gets up there for like, 2 weeks? And I was going, No.
We don't go brown.
Oh, my goodness.
We don't actually go brown. We just become rusty.
Oh, my God. We're going to have a great night of poetry. What a great group. We also invite callers to call in if you would like to. And we'd be happy to have you read poetry and comment. So let's go ahead and get started because we have tons of poetry. And Katie, over to you.
Okay, the first one we have is Broken Butterflies by Sea Glass. And I will start off with reading this. It did behave. How wonderful. Okay, Broken Butterflies by Sea Glass. Spring, stolen summers, robbed of identity, indoctrinated flowers born into winter, steely needle pins, broken butterflies on dirty wheels, groomed, not schooled, the fragile flowers, their seasons forced, wilt. They lay shivered in the field and under bridges, in alleys and gutters. They drown in stale water, dirty rooms, treated as litter, on waste ground. The joy of life wrung like a rag out of young lives before they have a chance to begin. End poem.
Oh my goodness, you did such a beautiful read of her poem. You know, Broken Butterflies, it just, you know, draws you in right away. I really enjoyed her metaphors in here where, you know, she says that these broken butterflies that they lay shivered in the field and under bridges and alleys and gutters. They drown in stale water, dirty rooms, treated as litter on waste ground. You know, it's just, she was talking about writing a poem from the segregation of society. And I really do believe that she broke that up because that is how we all feel humanity. Fantastic. Fantastic read and poem. What did you think about the poem, Gray Eyes?
I thought she taught the prompt quite well. You know, the prompt was write a poem for contest degradation of society. And, you know, this is really, she's speaking about people that are abused as children ending up in the streets and in dirty rooms, you know, and they are treated as litter on waste ground. You know, the joy of life wrung out like a rag out of young lives before they have a chance to begin. You know, I think that's part of the, you know, a big issue with homelessness is people are broken butterflies before they got to fly. So it's very tragic and sad.
Yeah, it is. Thank you so much, Gray Eyes. And let's get one more comment, Laurent.
Yeah, the metaphor of butterflies for young people works so well. I like the indoctrinated flowers born into winter. Steely needles pin broken butterflies. Those steely needles, words, actions, deeds. It's really well done. It tugs at the heart, certainly. The metaphors are outstanding.
Agreed. Thank you, Laurent. And Katie, we are back to you. And also, my other co-host, Poetic Picasso, is online. Hey, Frank.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. We can hear you.
Okay.
And welcome to the show.
Hola, mi amigo.
I'm glad to have you.
¿Cómo estás?
Okay. ¿Cómo estás? Hola. Okay, we're ready for our next poem.
And our next poem is War Sausage by Jack Tomkovic. And Laurent, could I ask you to read this for us, please?
Certainly. Good Lord, where are we here? Sorry. I'm having trouble with this stupid computer tonight. All right.
I'm always having trouble with mine.
War sausage. War grinds men up and spits them out like sausage in the shredder. Tree branches dipped into mulch and bark churns them like butter and burns them like leaves in the fire pit. Then blows their ashes, cast on the cold winter wind. War shows no mercy, explodes even children as bombs by nursery schools, and rivers of pain flow to the sea. End poem.
You did a fantastic job at reading Jack. Talk of it. Well, thank you so much. Let's get some comments. Katie, what did you think of Jack's poem?
Oh, dear. I mean, it's war. And really, that takes you right into it, that first stanza. War grinds men up and spits them out like sausage in the shredder. Oh, it's a horrible analogy, but so accurate.
Mm-hmm.
World War One and World War Two, you know, it, all our fittest and best were taken from us, and that is a sad, sad thing, and I hope, you know, if it happens and we go again, let's go with one button, boom, gone. Let's not drag it out. That's the way I look at it. But this is beautifully written. This really, it tells all of what war can do to people and does do to people and is still doing to people. So beautifully written. And thank you so much, Jack. That was a hard hit, but a good one.
Thank you. Wonderful comment, Katie. And how about you, Irish Rose?
Well, war is indiscriminate. It just takes whomever is by wherever it is actively being lived out, and that's the tragedy of the whole thing. You know, you just it can't be controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it was a really good write. Very well done.
Thank you. And what did you think about the poem and the reading of Murat Frank?
I think the poem in itself was a very powerful poem. You know, the poem of war, you know, regardless of what year it is or what year it was.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you to speak a little louder, Frank, because your voice, we can't hear it very loud because it's very soft spoken.
Okay, well, let me go ahead and try calling back. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay, I'm shaking up. All right. What I'll do is I'll call back and see if it works better there, and I'll call me.
It's better. We can hear you really well right now.
Okay. I just want to say the poem is a very powerful poem. It was a very powerful message, and I really enjoyed it. You know, what he had said in his poem. So he did an excellent job conveying that message.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Frank. Okay, Katie, we are back to you.
Okay, and what we have now, Strawberries and Cream by Garden Delights. And Irish Rhodes, would you read that for us, please?
Sure, thank you. I'm glad to. Strawberries and Cream. Again, poem. Strawberries, blonde leaves, sporting creamy smooth complexions. Youthful years spent shaded by grandfather magnolia, who wept at every skin deed while producing fragrant vanilla blossoms each spring. An ancient cedar saw difficult teenage years, lover's initials carved into its trunk. Only the etchings survived till this day. Love crumbled and blew away, poised at the advent of adulthood. Napping and lunching under trailing willows, marriage proposal tenders here, mm-hmm. Toddlers fostered in their shady hideaway, palms of retirement sway in an elderly breeze. Your shock of wiry strands has gone gray, a cane escorts in steady legs, the laughter of grandchildren rising among tropical shelters. Even as a pine constructs your eternal resting place, descendants of you are numerous green shoots, who honor your memory among acres of your trees. Rest in peace, Dad. In poem.
Oh, my goodness. You did such a such a beautiful read of Garden Light's poem, Irish Rose. Thank you so very much. She did a contest on, thank you, on Heavenly Angel. And this is such a beautiful tribute to her grandfather. I really love the stanza where she, you know, the first two, the opening stanzas, strawberry blonde leaves, sporting creamy, smooth complexions, youthful years spent shaded by grandfather's magnolia, who wept at every skin knee while producing fragrant vanilla blossoms each spring. You know, that just brought me such wonderful memories of, you know, my mom and my grandmother when we were growing up, and they would have all these different fruit trees, apples, pears, cherries, and then vegetables. And, you know, of course we would play, and, you know, I remember falling, and of course my, you know, your grandmother hugs you and loves you, and, you know, this just beautiful scenery that we grew up with. And as we grow older, we look at these aged trees and remember all these sentimental and beautiful memories of our family. What did you think about the poem, Katie?
Oh, it was a lovely poem to somebody who she obviously thought so much of and loved, which is wonderful. It's great to have a family like that. So the memories, although hard, and very sad, are sprinkled with happy memories, and they kind of balance themselves out, and to the point where you can actually think of the person you've lost without immediately, you know, feeling that horrible ache. So I think this was lovely, and I really thought it was well written, and you could feel the caring in it, which I really loved. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you, Katie. And our next commenter is Gray Eye. A new Gray.
Sorry, I was hitting every button, but yeah, you did a beautiful read on the Irish Rose. And, you know, the poem is touching, it's deep. You can feel the love there and the memories of it all. So just beautiful.
Thank you very much. And we are ready for our next poem, Katie.
Okay. Coming up. Hour-long shower. Oh, I hope so. And Luyu, would you read this for us, please?
Yes, it would be my honor.
Thank you.
And let me refresh my page. And welcome back to the show, Frank. Okay, here we go. Hour long shower by Hope Soul. Slowly I walk into my dimly lit bathroom, leaving the door ajar, just the slightest. Full moon bends to mid-low height. My knees give lean. Soft hands reach inward, fondling for the knob, turning the dial to the faucet, even though you're not home. I turn the water warm, just how you like it. Steam begins to build.
Hello, is anybody there?
I sit on the edge. What, Gray? Can you all hear me reading?
I can hear you.
Yes. Okay. All right. I didn't know. I heard somebody's voice. Hope. Steam begins to build as I sit on the edge. Heat and the beads of moisture collect. The mirror has residue of smudges. Fingers have pressed against it, aching to clearly see. I want you here now. Pale flesh filling the water's warmth. I screw open a small jar of sugar scrubs, passion fruit written across the label, orange granulated lotion, a real stocking stuffer. Two fingers pledge in, rubbing my thumb against them. I paint these curves, thinking of better days, lighting hands across softened skin, now slicking with fruit drizzle fragrance, aching toes, lifting heels, dark hair kissing backside, meeting in the middle, leaning as far back as a spine can go, contortism at its finest, reaching for a body that's still working hourly in the cold warehouse right now, hollering at truckers, my feminine echoes, not in his ears. Hours until the time card hits the buzzer, him clocking out, it's not what's coming next. Impulse. Oh, that was delicious, getting sensual and sizzling hot. Hope, what did you think of her poem, Laura?
Pretty gripping. Riveting, as a matter of fact. Sometimes when our loved one is not nearby, we do things to remind ourselves of him or her. And some of that begins in self-stimulation, having a moment for ourselves when they're not here, but thinking of them all the time. I love the ending. Hours until the time card hits the buzzer, him clocking out is not what's coming next. Sensual, passionate, gripping.
Fantastic comment, Lauren. Thank you. How about you, Irish Rose?
Oh, I really like the way that you just took her time and the description of just, you know, thinking about him and then one each stanza at a time, there was a new kind of unfolding of what she was pampering herself with. And it was contemplation in the shower, and she's looking for him to come there. And last stanza was really a nice summation. In the coal warehouse right now, hollering at truckers is where he's at. My feminine echoes, not in his ears. Hours until the time card hits the buzzer. Him clocking out is not what's coming next. I like that. Surprise.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic comment, Irish Rose. And how about you, Frank?
You know, when you think about showers, you know, they can be very intimate. And when you are inspired, you know, as she is in this poetry here, you realize the capacity of what the poem means. It's very central, the poem, but it's also very emblematic, I would say, of what it represents in the relationship above all. So, you know, I have to say it was a fantastic central piece.
It was. Well, we can. I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Delicious comment.
I'm trying to speak as much as I can. I'm sorry. As loud as I can.
That's okay, Frank. Thank you. And we have a new caller. Caller 703. Who am I speaking with?
Miriam Kilmer.
Hi, Miriam. How are you doing today?
Doing all right, thanks. I'm surrounded by one husband and two cats. I mean, within a 3-foot radius. It's very cozy.
Yeah, my cat likes to sit on my lap also during poetry and just, you know, just listen and everything. Yeah, so I understand that. Were you able to hear the reading of Hope's poem?
No, I wasn't. Sorry, I just now called in.
Okay, well, welcome to the show, Miriam. And
thank you.
We are back to Kitty.
All righty. Now we have, and you shall know me, for I am Death by Intimidus Vex. And we have a SoundCloud for that. Greg, could you help us with that, please? On mute.
Yeah, you bet.
Frank?
Sorry about that. Yep,
okay.
I got it.
Thank you.
Those are the souls. Okay. I'm having trouble finding it.
It's called And You Shall Know Me, For I Am Death, and it's by Intimidus Rex.
Okay. I'm not seeing it here.
Right, okay. It is there, I've got it.
Let's see. Heart.
Oh, it's on close to me.
I don't see it. Wait a minute. Here it is on the bottom. Here, hold on. Let me see if this is it. Hold on. Okay. For some reason, Greg, it's under Naomi's poem.
Okay, I'll look for Naomi. And, I see the poem, but I also, okay,
here we go.
Skraelins, just run long into that misty filled night. I'm having me a bit of fun, chasing dolly moths, causing fright. Through foggy bottoms, unlit streets, towards Spitalfields, me place to roam, where echoes ring in empty feet, our rookeried Whitechapel dome. Bonnets Polly wore, no doss tonight, thrice drank her fill. She'll walk along these streets no more, blind gin cup wares in autumn's chill. One tuppenny bit was all it took for a dark Bucks Row rendezvous, throttled neck and opens bloody book. She was my first cuckoo-ga-choo. Liz be a Swedish tart, with ripped throat found in Dutfield's yard. Too close for comfort when I start, be she mine or some other's card. Now cat was mine about an hour past, scarpering out of Bishop's Gate. 'Twas in Mitre Square, I worked real fast, gutting that tart, sealing her fate. Me nice real shot, I'm not done yet. Beyond again, after dusk, her kidney was nice, off I et. Catch me when you can, Mr. Lusk. Top of the morn, your news is grim. I had me laughs at those brought in from Poyser, then drew it most prim to Mansfield's Jekyll and Hyde man grin. And then come that fop, Tumble Tea, looking to purchase some jarred wounds, but got caught in some buggery, which drove him home to his pet grooms. Keep it coming, boys, or I'm knuffling these gothics, opening old wounds, dressed to kill while you be rifling through dirty drawed songs you've crooned. Touch a Welsh rare bit, e'en more so while she be pubbin', young and pretty, unchaste but fit, copper aired and ready for shtippin'. 'Twas in number 13 Miller's Court I got to work on me last kiln. Blood was spilt with tools I brought, a masterpiece to gentry's chill. Come one, come all, as I usher up a brave new world on which you'll dine. Eat hearty, as from L you'll sup, as London lives in my timeline. Guest and nomen meum, et sietis me quia con fors.
Wow. That was awesome. Oh my goodness. The language, the old English, the Latin, this was just fabulous, the tolling of the bells, and the Latin he was reading, if I cannot reach hell, I will raise, if I cannot reach heaven, I will raise hell, and then the others translated, my name is Jack and you shall know me, for I am death, and just the way he just read this and just took us, all into this. Top of the morn, your news is grim. Oh, aid me laughs at those brout. I can't even, from Pfizer and Drut most prim to Mansfield, Jekyll, and Yide, mad grin. Okay, I can do slang Hispanic, but this is not killing me. It was just like watching a movie. This was just fabulous. What did you think? And Rexy's poem, Katie.
Wow. I loved it. I love his accent. So cool.
Mm.
Uh-huh. Ask not for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. And that was a lovely bell in the background touch. I really like that. And he did very well. I mean, so much. You must have put so much into this in a way of research to get all the information that he had here. This was a history lesson. As well as, not that it was actually history, because all of you was real, but I thought it was wonderful. Me nice to do sharp, I'm not done yet. Be on time again. Yeah, very good. Hello, very well done, the old Mary. Yes, I liked it a lot. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie and Gray. Gray.
Yeah, that's the best I've ever heard from Rex. It was fantastic, you know, so deep and powerful. The presentation was awesome. I really loved it. Good job, Rex.
Great. Are you talking on your speakerphone?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you must be in the bathroom or something. There's a good echo. And Miriam, you haven't had a chance to comment yet. What did you think of Rex's poem?
I loved the rhythm of it, and with the death knell tolling in the background, that was very moving, actually. And yet there were these little bits of humor that kept coming up, and I particularly enjoyed that reference to the Beatles. So I really enjoyed it. That was a good poem.
Thank you. Thank you, Miriam. Okay, we've got more fantastic poetry coming up, and Katie, back to you. Thank you, Rexy.
Now we have How Do I Find Myself Now by Miriam Kilmer. I wonder if you could read this for us, please, Miriam.
I most certainly will. And if I may preface it, some people have been commenting on this poem and giving me advice on how I could make it more cheerful. But actually, this is supposed to be a description of clinical depression.
Mm-hmm.
And the title is How Do I Find Myself Now? To find myself, I must retrace my steps. I deepen ruts. I find my footsteps again and again as I wander in circles, foundering in the tepid woods, utterly lost. I must be where I have been before. Where else would I be? The bleak hill rises before me, muddy and grassless. Bare trees wave pointed sticks into the gray sky. The track is steep. It beckons and threatens, a silent joke in the breathless air. I search the dark earth for a bird, a bird, even a common crow, but no bird stirs. I wave my invisible hand before me as I ascend the shadowed road. My hand meets my arm on the other side of my body. There. I found myself. So what? And so
You know, Miriam, I usually, when one of my friends gave me the best advice, and he always told me, do not change the way I write or who I am when I write, because that's what makes me me. So anytime you know, that's the best advice I ever gotten, you know, from somebody that told me to leave my poetry as it was. You know, of course, sometimes you may get a misspelled word or something like that, and you take the advice and you go, oops, you know, and you go and change it. But I leave your emotions as they are beautifully penned here. Our next commenter is Moran.
How do I find myself now? When you're in a deep depression, you literally find yourself lost, despite knowing who you think you are. So to try and escape it all, you do try to retrace your steps to find out where you wandered off the path. And she exclaims, I must be where I've been before. Where else would I be? And it's true. Where else would you be? And the search to find yourself can be difficult. And when you do, if you do, you ask yourself, what difference does it make? So what? I'm still here. Still depressed. Still unable to escape the moment. This is a poem that will make you think. Beautifully done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laurent. Well said. And how about you, Irish Rose?
Yes. Depression is a hooded person that apprehends you, and you're not even expecting it. You know, you can't always tell where it's going to come from, but all of a sudden it just shows up and you're gone, you know? You don't know how you got there, and you don't know how to get out sometimes. And it becomes bleak, and sometimes the word hopeless always would come to my mind, but you know, thank God there is hope to exit from that experience. And I like this one stanza. The track is steep. It beckons. It threatens. A silent joke in the breathless air. And so that's how it is. It's steep. It's calling to you. It's taunting you. It's threatening you. It's making a joke out of you. And you're suffocating. And you don't know what to do. And so, you know, I can identify with those feelings. And I thought that this was really well written. And there are ways to take the hood off, and I really enjoyed this. This was a good ride.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Irish Rose. And Frank.
This was very personal for me, this poem here. I have gone through bouts of depression, and I've always been told that not to deal on the depression itself, but to deal more on what makes you happy, not what makes you sad. And a poem like this has a great message, you know, and when it's written in a person's nature, it's always admirable because it's written from the heart. So I really did really find this poem to be very, very reflective. I thought you did a fantastic job in sharing your emotions. And I agree with what Lou said, what you said. You know, writing makes us, you know, but we define what we write.
Agreed. Thank you so much, Frank. And thank you, Miriam.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to share it. Yeah. I wrote it during a time of deep depression last December when I had laryngitis for 6 weeks together. And just very, very difficult to communicate with anyone. And someone on Facebook suggested that I allow my poetry to express that feeling and not try to force the end up into hope and courage as I usually do. And it really did help, you know, just to let myself feel what I was feeling for that time.
Yeah. You know, I was just reading a comment, one of our new members, Nicholas Black, he says, beautiful. Depression is a powerful emotion and should never be forced to be cheery. You know, sometimes we just have to hold on to our wounds and allow us to feel those emotions because they're there for a reason. Thank you, Miriam. Okay. Back to you, Katie.
Oh. Okie dokie. We have Little Infinities by Ben Hart. Frank, would you be able to read this for us? Are you okay to do that?
Well, I would prefer not to simply because you're not going to be able to hear me and I don't want it to be sounding like I'm shouting. So I would prefer someone would read out, someone else would read tonight. I could comment on the poem.
Yeah, no problem, no problem. Grey Eyes, would you read this for us, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right,
take it.
Okay, I
got
to find it.
If you can't find it, I can put it back again.
Okay, this is by Ben Hart. It's called Little Infinities. One. Paper girls, fields of rain, remember me. It read in big red letters, graffiti, speakers. That couldn't stop its the bleeding. But to the passerby, it doesn't have the time for reading. It's better to forget than saying. People die, and we must let them. One less lullaby. Sorry, I gotta refresh here. All right, sorry. One less lullaby for tired folks. To butcher the memory of someone that they were only passing by. But my caustic lips will never stop delivering razor blade serenades to the dear ghosts drifting round my periphery. Paper girls so fast asleep at their spray paint altars where umbrella bouquets lay in fields of rain, happily abandoned for the tender promises February couldn't keep. I wouldn't live 500 times just so I could provide 1,000 upheld hands for them to rest in earth's embrace with temperate river Thames to touch. Fingerprints were made to look like labyrinths because identity is supposed to take a lifetime to figure out. While chasing around many false turns that lied about dead ends, bruises were made to remind our skin of every varied agent, smuggling sanguine fireworks high into the skies of hope, screaming, hoist the colors, promise a subdermal Trojan horse going to war upon our every waking. Three, music box dancer. When madmen had just invented anger and they needed him more than ever, music box dancer had just moved away from Manchester, back to lands that still remember Fennoscandia's invasion when all of Britannia burned by Eden's beloved black savage, the forbidden first of a loving God's creation. Back to land. No, Northman would ever understand, thinking it must be tamed, something free. It almost made her sad that they would never see the pinnacle chain like hibiscus rain over pearly gates. The Rumbald's white, little white lighthouse built from a small skirt full of stones guides the gal and calf safely home down empty roads. And no, over the gritstone moors of Boland's York, Lancaster bombers may have long replaced storks. Herculean angels circling limestone plateaus, and to the music of four Rolls-Royce Merlins, she gladly dances the chassis stage left in the shadows of heroes that wouldn't bow before alien eagles in their Stuka screens or Blue Sunday. How did our hearts know not to beat upside down before we ever touched the ground, before mosaic roots ever manifest kaleidoscope canopies to portray Earth's bewildered love for the saturnine interstellar and the canary stars in their cages who get to sing forever. But to the heavens fair, this aged woodland may as well have been a gas station bouquet, something meant to last. It wouldn't survive the day. Exchanging chains to divide the weight of existence on our shoulders, and the blood that clots to boulders in midnight veins. Decay will come in stages, and dreams will die in shame. But I must admit, I live in fear of you figuring out one Blue Sunday when we were throwing dishes through the kibble. That, my dear, I am atrophy and not some happy appellation, and that you were only ever something meant to kill me, and I knew you wouldn't like the irony of bleeding pain. Pleading being changed with plead, but at this point, it would take anything to ease my chlorine breathing. 5, Pan Am. Once upon a time, we were more than just lovers in a landfill. We brought back the beginning to salt pan mirrors of infinity, staggering breaths when we couldn't tell if absent tears turned to tumors, whatever ruptured into healing. Infinity's happiest end may only be found in Venus Valley. But sister of Saul, no, it means nothing if it's not you that I'm dealing with. And my dear, it is okay if you feel you need to scream every fuck you in the book at me. I'm still here for now, between lost and found, fast asleep. Or so says Johnny. I'm not so sure, though, that this indeed is not my final dream. I just wanted to be there upon life leaving me, let a bullet's final prayer ring out in my drafty temple. Though I should have told you not to worry, that I was not in a hurry, because I was dying anyway. And when another morning ever came, I made sure, upon my last desperate draw, I battled the closing of my eyes, just to have one more look at my desert dame. You were my anti-retrograde, and I hope fondly you will remember your crazy bee. You were the happiest end to my infinity. End poem.
Yeah. You know what? You did a fantastic job in reading this. You know, Ben, his words are like his painting. It just fills your body and your mind with so many different images, especially this, and that you were only ever something meant to kill me. And I knew you wouldn't like the irony of bleeding, being pained, reprieved, but at this point, I would take anything to ease my corn breathing. You know, that was just deeply painful as it was powerful. And then, you know, the beauty of this, you know, no matter how unhappy we are or sick we are or things that we're going through, you know, there is, at least for me, when I get sad or depressed, I find that the things around me, the beauty, the energy of nature tends to softly feed my soul. The four mosaic roots even manifest kaleidoscope canopies to portray Earth's beloved bewildered love for the Saturn interstellar and the canary stars into their cages, who will get to sing forever. You know, there's just such beauty in this sadness. This is amazing. What did you think of Ben's poem, Katie?
Oh, there was so much pathos, so much pain, so much everything in this. I thought it was a wonderful write. My favorite and very telling stanza for me was, "But to the heavens fair, Earth's ancient woodlands may as well have been a gas station bouquet, something meant to last that wouldn't survive the day." That was a great analogy. I really enjoyed it. I thought he put everything into this and did so well. Yes, I think one of the most complex I've seen of his, and all the good for that, because it was wonderful. Thank you so much for that.
I just got a message from Phil. Hold on a second. She says that he had an audio for this. I know I have one for one of his other. Let me see. We didn't.
No, I haven't got a,
I'm checking.
One here.
I'm looking on his poem to see, maybe it's one of his other poems, because sometimes you can get up to 4 front page picks. So I always try to look to make sure that there's not, I see that there's an audio, but I don't know if it's to music or what. Let me check. And while we're waiting for that, Gray, I'd like to get a comment on your reading of this poem since you're next to comment. No, that's music. Okay.
Yeah, that was masterful wordsmithing, if you ask me. I mean, it was epic in the presentation, and just a beautiful read and a powerful write. It really takes you through all these little infinities. You know, each stanza has its own meaning and depth to it. And when man had just invented anger, and they needed him more than ever, music box dancer had just moved away from Manchester. Back to lands that still remember, but Benno's Gambia's invasion, when all of Britannia burned. But Eden's beloved black savage, the forbidden first of a loving God's creation. You know, it's just an epic poem, and it's just a piece of it. Well done.
Great. Thank you, Gray. And Miriam, you're next to comment.
I thought this was really expertly crafted. I loved the rhythm and the occasional rhyme. I thought that worked really well. I especially liked the deer goes drifting round my peripheries. It's just really beautiful. And then the second part, where you talk about fingerprints were made to look like labyrinths, and you go on to discuss what that means. I just thought that was brilliant. So really, really well done.
Thank you very much, Miriam. And now we are ready for our next poem.
Okay, and our next poem is Teacher and the Student by Hope Soul. And I hope Hope doesn't mind if I read this. I'm very hopeful that Hope won't mind. Oh, my. Oh, look at that picture. Wow.
That's beautiful. Okay. I wonder if it's painted by one of them.
I imagine it. It looks like it would be. It looks very like their style. Their style. I can't really lump them together, but we tend to, don't we? Yeah, Hope Soul. Here we are. Teacher and the Student. Fireball fish stoning, pounding at the almost 30-year-old threshold, slamming wildly at sanctuary doors, trying to bust wide open his ribs, fighting a place called home that modestly shelters this local Hispanic woman with her 46% European, 25% indigenous, 29% Spanish Ninos, whom have grown fond of the landlord. Voices in the silo taunt, another to cause worry. Grey hairs start twirling, the pink elephant in the room, begins snoring, waking the hen, who runs to the rooster and begs, "Let me know what time it is. How many floors until we make it to the penthouse?" Peeling back silver chocolate bar foil, discovering it takes more than tossing lightning bolts to make a real man run. Rational foreign idioms do more than father a couple of orphans. That long drag off a fresh cigarette out of a hard box of Camel Whites will do more than calm a few nerves. 39 moons show shadows even when the eclipse is long gone. It's not too late for dinner. Take the meat off the bone. Spell for me the word flower. Sound out how to say cloud. Don't forget the silent S. A well-balanced mother who tips the scales, trying to remember how to play nice when tenderness is something you get after pounding out the chicken breast flat. How sweet it is to be loved by you. End poem. That's cool, isn't it? I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, she had fantastic metaphors and humor throughout this. You did a fabulous job in reading her poem, and I'd like to find out what you thought of Hope's poem, Laurent.
I think I was here when it was read for the first time, and I was very, very impressed by the piece. It's emotional, but it's real. And I always like the opening stanza the best. The fireball, fist stoning, pounding at the almost 30-year-old threshold, slamming wildly at sanctuary doors, trying to burst wide open his ribs, fighting a place called home. It speaks so lovingly and so damningly at the same time about what hard lessons that are learned and what to do with a heart that recognizes tenderness. It's pounding out a chicken breast flat, which I think is just a wonderful twist. It really, really is great.
I agree. Thank you, Laurent. Fantastic comment. And how about you, Irish Rose?
Oh, yeah, I really enjoyed this. First time I've ever heard it read. And what came to my mind was, I think I've met these kids somewhere before. And I thought she was so authentic, you know, so terribly authentic and real, too. And I just love the imagery as it flowed in. I love the form. The form was just exquisite. I thought this was great in its own abstraction. And it was very enjoyable. Yeah.
Thank you, Irish Rose. And you, Frank, what did you think?
Well, I heard this poem, I believe, the other day, as well as Laurent. I thought she's very, very creative, you know, in her writing. She always reflects that. I know that she writes a lot collabs with Nuno. But, you know, I like the way it began as well. But I like the whole notion there of describing her lineage as well. And being a looker Hispanic woman. the poem itself was full of humor. It was a cool piece. I really liked the way she described, you know, the setting and everything that was going around her life, you know. And I think there's a good part about the poem is that she's discovering herself, I would say. And I think it's influenced by Nuno. Her muse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. And I think they both fit. Yeah, they both feed off each other. Loca y loco.
Yeah.
Thank you. And now we're ready for another fabulous poem, Katie.
Well, it just so happens I have another fabulous poem. It's just there, like magic. Here we have Songs of Life by Irish Rose. And Rose, would you read this for us, please?
Sure, thank you. Begin poem. Haida Gwaii, Songs of Life. Old pain murmurs in her ear. Nothing is as it was. Changing seas where visions speak, chanting, voiced in tones of need. Ghostly shadows fill the air, disappearing into raging waves. raiders of the blooded, breath breathes their death, swimming in memories of sunlight and storms. Diadems of catechism filters through life, crashes the dream, lost. Your spirits shout in the storms, voices slowly dying, shadows deep, sifting sands quietly deep, new lining of her soul, raking over old bones. Hearing the raven's call, memories of warriors, ghosts, screaming in raging seas. Now roots drink the golden elixir of memories, poured from tongues now gone. A winter storm erupts in life's late autumn dawn. Rainbow doubts dance, running before tempest storms. The Pacific now speaks, hear their voices, pitches repeated in patterns, whales singing their melancholy songs of life. Water's warm food vanishing, genetic memory serves as warning. Marine snow falls to the deepest spot of an unseen land. Biological pump spreads decay, organic feeding of the aphotic. Eye to seize the future, eyes foreseeing, mouth set in grim lines, descending deeply into the fibers of her being, hearing her on ocean spirit's journey, now gone from Haida Gwaii. In poem.
Irish, this was just beautifully penned, and you know, historical images. You know, there's a sadness for me here in the lines that you've written, because you know, for me, we see so much destruction of Mother Earth and of Native American tribal people. Pacific Islanders, the beliefs that even in our modern age, it's just still carried, and how they sing and they listen and try to hear the voices of the ancestors. Oh my goodness, where, you know, it says warrior spirits shout out in the storms, voices slowly dying, shadows deep sifting the sands quietly deep in the lining of her soul, raking over old bones, the ancestry that is just carried down in our elders. And I thought you beautifully penned this about how the Pacific now speaks, hear their voices, pitches repeated in pattern, whales sing their melancholy songs of life. And I could just hear this, and I just thought your imagery was just spectacular.
Thank you.
Also, your read. And Katie, your next comment.
Oh, thank you. Yes, this was another piece of poetry that gave me lots of interesting things and facts that I wasn't aware of before. I love that. I love when I get educated, because I really could do with it. And I see this, I'm sorry, I should have said, this is a collaboration with yourself and Laurent. Yeah. I hadn't mentioned that before, but I'm mentioning it now. So, yes, I think it was beautifully done. And you can't tell. You know, it just flows so well that it's, you know, it's just there doing what you want it to do with no hiccups, which is great. Memories of warriors, ghosts screaming in raging seas. Now, that gives me shivers. Oh, I love the sea, but it's a dangerous thing to be on. So, yes. Beautifully done, both of you. Thank you so much for sharing. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Beautiful comment, Katie. And Greg, your next comment.
Yeah, that was a beautiful poem. You know, it really captures the beauty and the essence of the Haida Gwaii. And, you know, I really enjoyed the beginning of stanza three. The Pacific now speaks, hear their voices. Pitches repeated in the patterns, whales singing their melancholy songs of life. I mean, yeah, you can just see all that, and they hear the whales calling out. Beautiful.
Thank you, Greg. And Miriam, your next comment?
We'll need to read up more on this fascinating on this fascinating people that I never heard of before, and I will, it beautifully expressed, and I particularly enjoy the part that I can't find about the whales. Can't find it. Where'd it go? There we go. Whales sing their melancholy songs of life. Very, very beautiful.
Thank you, Miriam. Would you like to say anything about your poem, Irish Rose?
Yeah. First of all, I have a dear friend who is Haida, and I've known her for years and years and years. And so as an artist, I've always been fascinated with the graphics of the North Coast. And it just the whole thing has just been in me for so long. And then finally, it was a culmination after so long that I felt the need to write this. And it was a long time in the making. And now it's really nice to see it finally down on paper and be able to share it with other people. To know that they were such a proud people and so incredibly, incredibly talented. And I just was fascinated by their culture. And today it's a World Heritage Site. And their islands, the Queen Charlotte Islands, are off the coast of Vancouver. And I'm sure that Gray's familiar with them. And it's a really beautiful place to be. And so if you ever get a chance to go there, go. Gorgeous.
Thank you, Irish Rose. And that is a beautiful poem and tribute. And we got time to sneak in one more poem in our regular list before we go into open poetry. Katie?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I've been chatting away. I wondered why nobody answered.
But I had dropped.
What happened?
Oh, dear. I was doing so well. Balderdash.
Let's sneak in one more before we get into open poetry.
I did say, I said, right, I'll do that right now. And of course, you didn't hear me. But I'm doing that right now. This has got a SoundCloud, Gray. This is Patience by Richard Weissman. Thank you, my dear.
Patience by Richard Weissman. Rushing through a wash of bodies, through stop, then go, now standstill of rush hour traffic, forgetting to inhale, exhale. Deep blue calm of interior ocean's call, through dilating pupil of mind's eye, slip gray, airless lunar craters. Stop. Listen. Answers come in distant aboriginal drumbeats, peace of the waving palms, skyborne breath clearing dead weeds, while green-eyed money hums for glossy dust jackets. Awaiting my pitch-perfect signature, old toothache pains revive. Exhale, inhale. Mind racing body to catch the 5:19. Red heat pulsing my eardrums, whispering late, late. While syncopated gallop of my fingernails against the waiting for mica countertop of Edward Hopper's 1940s diner scene keeps me sitting, waiting, thirsting for Java, hungry for ham and easy over eggs. End of poem.
What an enjoyable poem by Richard. He's also one of our radio hosts. I would like to know what you thought of his poem, Laurent.
Well, I think it exemplifies patience, the act of waiting through all the busy moments of a day when you can't really move forward, you can't really move back. When your mind, as he says, when your mind racing body to catch the 5:19, red heat pulsing my eardrums, whispering late, late. The final stanza where he discusses Edward Hopper's 1940s diner scene keeps me sitting, waiting, thirsting for Java, hungry for ham, and easy over eggs. You know, that early morning breakfast when you the world really still quiet all around you and what you want, and it's coming, and you know, sitting and waiting. It really answers very well to the prompt of all the hardships a person had to face. None was more punishing than the simple act of waiting. And he does it so poetically and in a manner that's very, very relatable to the Western mind.
Fantastic comment. Thank you so much. And what did you think of Richard's poem, Irish Rose?
Oh, well, as an artist, I was, when he got into the Hopper thing, I'm just like, yeah. I totally loved his expression, the deep calm, blue calm of interior ocean's call to dilating pupil of mind's eye. Slip gray ere the lunar craters stop, listen, answers. I love that. And so he's really giving this some time to pause and really process what he's feeling, what he's seeing. And I just really enjoyed the whole thing. It was just fascinating.
Agreed. Thank you so much, Irish Rose. Well said. And Frank?
Yes. I really enjoyed the poem. I really like the message of the poem. Patience is a virtue, they tell us. But, you know, I like the fact that he's, you know, when he talks about the experience itself of what's going on, you know, these activities, and how he should be patient. And I could not help but think that we are impatient people, but in the broader sense, we can be patient if we allow our minds to be more patient. And that last line there about, I would say, about the egg, the ham and eggs, well, it took me back to Denny's yesterday. I'm sorry, I couldn't help but say that, but he really did. he really brought me to those memories, but he did a fantastic job. And it was a great recording, above all.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you, everybody. Such fantastic comments. And now we're going to start into our open poetry section. And just so you know, whatever poems are not read this week, they all will get read, and they will be added to the following week. We will always make sure everybody's poems are read.
And, hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can. I was waiting for you to say, and over to you.
Okay. I'm just like, oh my God, what did I do now? Oh, man.
We're all going around that circle there.
Oh, we are, aren't we? We are completely doolally. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to make you anxious. I just thought maybe I'd drop because there was no noise. But we're here. We're all here. It's wonderful. Oh, my goodness. Are you sure this isn't a Friday? It should be. Right. Suicide Stream by Midnight Petals. Now, this is not necessary, but Miriam, do you think you might, would want to maybe read this? Hello?
I don't know if she hung up. Hold on, let me go check. Okay. No, she's still there. Miriam, are you on hold? Hello?
Yes. Do you want me to give it a stop here?
Yeah. Yes, please.
All right. I'll try to. This is brief, so since it's brief, I'll read the poem. Suicidal Stream. Chaos, cloth, and crimson skies of death. Guillotine screams and delirium torments the cross of my sorrows. Paint suicidal streams of slumber, of suicidal abyss. End of poem.
Oh, you did a fabulous job in reading her poem. This is just, she wrote it to the prompt, simple as dying sunset over crocheted mauve lake, 25 world. She really did this. She took it to a dark side here, which I, and she usually doesn't. Her poems are usually so beautiful, but I like where she, you know, she talked about suicide here, and this is how she saw it in the chaos, clot in crimson skies of death. Oh my goodness, just her wording throughout is just powerful. And she says that she was releasing her demons, and just sometimes that's just how we have to do it. Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Katie?
Oh, yes, I think that was the old saying is better out than in, and I really agree with that. But this is you need to get that out there. You definitely, you don't want to be harboring anything that might make your life not as pleasant as it should be. It's necessary, and I love the fact that people can do this. They can bring to us, the masses, all their feelings, knowing full well that there will be no comments made that are derogatory in any way, or no judgments made, maybe is what I meant to say, no judgments made. But I think it's wonderful, and it's a beautiful piece of poetry as well. I love the way it's constructed. It's just, yeah, it kind of like, you know, it gets you. You've got to read it. You've got to read it. I thought it was wonderful, and thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. And Gray, you're next to comment.
Yeah, that's a hard-hitting poem. You did a beautiful job of reading it, right? But, you know, I guess the prompt is simple as dying sunset over Clark-headed sky, native sky. Yeah, anyway, so I can read it. But, yeah, it's a hard-hitting poem, you know. It speaks to you. The demons that we all have in the cross of our soils, you know, in these suicidal streams of a suicidal abyss. It really is a powerful poem on that subject. You know, I'm just releasing my demons on paper, she says. So I like it, you know, we should all do this. Beautifully done. Great read.
Thank you. And Miriam, are you back yet?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you anymore. I'm just going to comment on the board for now.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Miriam. All right, Katie, we're ready for our next poem.
Okay, and I have no flashing red, which means you can hear me. Now, ladies, hold on to your bustles. We have Sapphire Eyes by Poetic Picasso. And there's a SoundCloud with that. Is there? No. Do we not have
there's a SoundCloud. Yes.
Okay, there's a SoundCloud. Yay. Yay.
I'm going to take you to Arabia.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm in a giddy mood tonight. I'm just...
It's always a good place to be.
Oh, yeah.
Habibti, I am enraptured by the sensual touch of your gentle cipher, a willing prisoner shackled to the chains of your passion, trapped in the sweet seduction of the cascades of milk flowing, in the drenching dripping of the glistening dew of your ruby lips. I bathe with you naked, Habibti, in the fluid of the erotic honey, drinking from the nibbling nectar of your begging hibiscus I adore, like a thirsty hummingbird of the morning with his elongated beak. Your dulcet whispers guide my wings to your supplication and feast. Be forever the bohemian lover that feeds my nocturnal hunger, the voluptuous woman that covers me within the shroud of the moon. The deep thrust of the tidal waves, of my penetrating plunge flooding the envy of the bustling ocean in colour of its moistened arousal. Let me dance slowly with the blossoming beauty of your body. Explore the constellations of the universe with your untamed kisses. Float into the erotic heavens with the motion of your delicious contours. Be serenaded by hypnotic harmonies of the lustful lutes and zestful cithers. We drink Spanish wine from the cups of lovers and eat dates from palm trees. Rub the fresh moisture of the camphor oil on our sculptured wet bodies, exposed, seduced by the soothing swirls of the intoxicating incense scent in the air. For I am lost in the twinkling stars of your beautiful sapphire eyes. Oh, Habibti, I am lost in the twinkling stars of your beautiful sapphire eyes. Be my Cleopatra. Oh, Habibti, oh, Habibti. In the poem,
I don't think anybody can be heard breathing after that. It's not my turn to comment, but I have got to say there were so many towards the end where you moaned.
Okay. Some midnight showers there.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, Laurent, what did you think of Frank's poem?
Well, my feminine side says, Frank, take me now. My masculine side says, get thee away, you seducer of women, leave mine alone. My poetic side admires the endless litany of marvelous metaphors that you can easily lose yourself in if you're a woman, presumably. So, yeah, stay away from my women, Frank.
Well, and nowadays, everything's trending otherwise there, Laurent, so who knows nowadays?
And I know I heard Iris Rose in there. Iris Rose, you're next to comment.
Híjola.
I know. De veras, qué caliente.
Sí, muy caliente, muy caliente. And yeah, Habibti, get your mama. Yeah, I thought it was incredibly erotic. And I was just waiting to hear the breath of Habibti. It was so good. Very well done. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, Miriam.
No, thank you.
And because Frank can't comment on his poem, I'm going to put Katie on the spot. Katie!
On the spot.
There you go. Happy.
Oh, my goodness. Do you know what I'm doing to my pacemaker? Oh, somebody came out.
You know,
oh, my goodness. Oh, my. Frank, you are. What are you? Wonderful. I really enjoyed that. It just tickles my funny bone in a nice way. You know what I mean? Because your funny bone getting hit is never nice, but you tickle my funny bone. I thought it was brilliant as ever.
You can breathe there, Katie. You can breathe.
I'm breathless. Oh, dear. Where's that man with the fan? Oh. I didn't tell you, because I know when Frank's on, I've hired this chap, and he's got a big palm leaf, and he fans me. Only when Frank's on.
I don't bathe in Cleopatra, but I'm very close to it.
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much for that.
It beats a doll any day there. A blew-up doll.
Talking from experience, are we? I don't know. I don't want to know. Okay.
Does not make for a good visual. I would have to have a pin and pop it.
I'm so warm. I said Scotland's never warm. I was wrong. I am boiling. Oh, dear.
I'll send you up to the hidings there.
Oh, good, yes. You can come and frighten the haggis.
I told Lou, I'd send the choo-choo train over there tonight.
He wants me to honk his horn.
Oh, my goodness. What a wonderful euphemism. That's so good.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Okay.
You see what you do. All of y'all make us fall apart here. Here we go.
We were doing so well. We were being so professional. That's ruined that.
There you go.
Thank you so much for that.
Okay. Now, serious face on. We can do this, okay? Oh, I'm kidding. I can't. Okay. Here we have Lies Now Beat in Unison by Laurent. And if I could ask you to read this for us, please, Laurent. Be very nice.
All right. Lives Now Beat in Unison. There's passion in your gaze, understanding in your eyes. No hint of wariness, no element of surprise. For we are connected by a thread, living as equals, neither one led, as we walk together, engaging arms with each other, tenderest clasp of a lover since we began this journey. I never knew how I could feel, if I could dream a little unreal, from which I remain unwoken. There is music in your voice, it compels, I have no choice, my mind surrenders to its elation. The new day has promised rain, yet inside me sun shines again. Magic floats in the air, your fragrance captivates me. How is this not impossible? A clarity I thought improbable sorts out the true north, quivering arrow of my feelings. A connection I can't see, but sense between you and me are the wings this Icarus needs to fly in your blaze of glory without falling into the sea. You've touched me deeply with strong sheltering wings that bind two beings as one, that soar above life's storms, beyond captivity, beyond yesterdays, beyond memories, beyond the storms. It is life, this breath I breathe, now found, and so long ago lost. But now I see, as two hearts commune, dancing as one, lives now beat in unison. End poem.
Beautiful, beautiful poem, Laurent. And I see you collaborated this with Iris Rose. When somebody
can make you feel the space of flying in your blaze of glory without falling into decay. You've touched me deeply with strong sheltering wings that bind two beings as one that soar above life storms, beyond captivity, beyond yesterday, beyond memory, beyond the storms. And, you know, all of us, you know, in our lives, we're all going through something. And when we can find a friendship that where we feel nourished, we do grow in that nurturing soil. This was beautiful, just absolutely beautiful. What did you think about the poem? And we're going to go back up. Katie?
Oh, sorry. Oh, I was flashing lyrical there. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I'm doing 16 things at once. It's my problem. Sorry about that. Yes, let me just get back to that, please. Yes, this was very tender. I like that, and loving. I did like the first stanza, which I thought was wonderful. There is passion in your gaze, understanding in your eyes, no hint of weariness, no element of surprise. For we are connected by a thread, living as equals, neither one led. Well, that's all you could ever ask for, isn't it? Two people to feel they're equal to each other, living happily. And I like that. That's a lovely idea. So, yes, it's a beautiful poem. And thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you. And, Gray, what did you think of Laurent's poem?
Well, you did a fantastic job of reading the poem. And I really love the seamless collab that you guys have done here. Lives Now Beat in Unison. You know, that's an excellent title. And then, you know, I really enjoyed, I never knew how I could feel. It's like a dream, a little unreal, from which I remain unwoken. That's just beautiful. It's beautiful throughout the whole poem. As two hearts commune and dancing as one, lives now beat in unison. Just beautiful. I loved it.
Thank you, Greg. And thank you, Laurent. That was just beautifully read. Would you like to say anything about your poem?
Well, it started off, actually, I had heard a song that I thought was very, very moving about how friendship can sometimes be more satisfying than, for instance, marriage or some ardent sexual escapade with somebody that blazes like a fire and then goes out at the end. Just the things that you can derive from friendship and conversation and trust. So there it was.
Well, it was a great poem, Irish, and Laurent. I enjoyed it very much. And we're ready for our next poem.
Okay.
Rich collab there.
Oh,
huh? Yeah, there was, I was going to say, if you refreshed, you can kick me later. But there was a new poem added by a Nicholas Black that was above Midnight Petals. Do you see it?
No, but I shall go and have a look. I have had to look for it, but I couldn't.
It's right underneath Open Poetry.
Right.
I put Open Poetry.
Right
on the top.
Okay, not where I expected it to be, of course. Silly me. I'll be there in a moment. Don't leave.
Okay.
Don't go without me. I can't see it. I've refreshed this twice. I'll just keep going. It's okay.
Okay.
I'll be there.
Okay. Let me. I'll pick it up for you and put it in the group.
Thank you.
I put it in the group already.
You did already? Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
thank
why
you.
We have Coco's. Thank you.
Yay. I love it.
Thank you, Frank and Naomi.
Ew.
So we have, two of them. Winter's Fangs by Nicholas Black. And Gray, would you like to read this, please? No. Are you on mute by any chance? Oh, hang on. Hang on a second. I've got a message here saying, from Nicholas Black, saying, I called in to read.
Okay, hold on.
Do you see that?
I see him. Nicholas, are you 904?
Hello? Nicholas? Yes, that's me. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you okay.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we hear you
mm-hmm.
really well.
Awesome. It's nice to meet you all.
Hi.
Nice to meet you. Welcome, welcome.
Good to be here.
Can you
have the
would
mic
you like me to proceed with the read?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. Winter's fangs. The frigid winter howls, sending echoes through a sea of frozen pine. Darts of icy air strike at your numb chin. Still, you hammer lifeless appendages towards the forest line, towards an uncharted fate. What was once an unyielding howling fades, staring skyward towards the tips of lumbering giants, hearing now their loathsome groans. Frosted needles, inspect your shape as you press through, here in this outland that receives you not. In brief instants, these buried trees have sapped your sense of bearing. Speak only to the whispering breeze of your crisis as you summon every step, all just to not be where you are. But what shines ahead just beyond your vision? It is the glint of a ragged fire staving off its demise, hinting a pledge of warmth and relief. The scent of its smoke assails your quiet shivers, hurried now in your trudge. To snub the callous cold, and to draw instead from the hand of clemency, you drive to the beckoning embers, having hung your terror from a flickering branch, reposing now among the pines. While your shivering body thaws, thoughts arise in mode of inquest. What body should have kindled a fire here, out in this den of tireless beasts? Now, to pacify the senses, your eyes close. Spawning visions of carnage, amassed in the cellars of a stolid head. Should you fall victim, fodder to wandering claim, tooth or blade, no less than warmth you have found. Undisturbed by the snapping of twigs, swallowed whole by what vestige of safety still stands, ever closer the fangs of winter draw. How this feeble fire moans to be nourished, beckoning friend and foe in kind. End poem.
I want to thank you for calling in, Nicholas Black. Congratulations. And it's your first show, and we hope to hear more from you. And I saw
thank
that
you
like to write dark poetry, and there are several dark shows that run, so check them out. And you did a fabulous job in reading your poem. And you're a good reader and
thank
writer,
you.
So I hope to hear more from you. Laurent, what did you think of Nicholas' poem?
Let me say that I was hugely impressed by the language, his descriptive ability, the darkness that is not really, I don't know if it's dark, and the misapprehension of what is to come. We call it the dark matter.
We're losing you, Laurent. We're losing you, Laurent.
Really good news, you know?
Okay.
All right, now.
Laurent? We can't
I
hear
you.
If anybody, hold on. If anybody has a TV in the background or radio, you need to turn it off because we're picking up, it picks up every noise. So if you would please turn that off so we can hear the comments.
Whoa. Good.
Hello? Oh, I don't know what happened. Okay. I'm sorry. Laurent, can you still hear me? Laurent?
Did he drop?
Okay, for some reason, there was a lot of noise, and it dropped some of our callers. That does happen. If for whatever reason you were dropped, please call back. Okay, and we did lose Laurent. And I'm sorry for that, because I would have loved for you to hear his comment. Nicholas, Irish Rose, what did you think of his poem?
Wow. The imagery was really very focused, very focused. And I like the way you did the build on the first three stanzas. And the darkness, you could feel the tension start to build toward the end. And I could just feel this, like your shivering body thaws, thoughts arise in mode of inquest. What body should have kindled fire here? And I went like, whoa, who's getting burned here or what? And this was just, I really enjoyed this tension that you developed throughout the whole thing. And so very well done. I liked your language. I liked your word choices. I liked the deliberateness of your read. And I thought they all came together and created a nice delivery. Well done, you.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
What a fantastic comment. And Frank, you're next to comment.
Yes. First of all, I have to commend you here for calling in the show and reading your poem. I'm looking at that prompt that you chose there, and I found it very vivid. The poem was dark, but it was very creative. You've got a pin that, or a quill, but is very much filled with creativity. You've got dark metaphors throughout your poem, but I like the way you style the poem. And I think it gives us a narrative here as well, what I felt there, of what the feel, you know, you get there from that prompt there. So I thought you did a fantastic job there.
Agreed. Thank you.
Thank you
so much. And Laurent, we have you back now. I don't know what happened. It was just like, a school with kids and noise just ran into
there
the room and ran out.
All right. It's all right.
I'm sorry.
Live radio, what can you expect now?
Exactly.
As I was saying, it was dark, but dark in a different way, perhaps. Normally, we admire trees. We love trees. We love the history. We love the imagery that the trees provide us for a thousand things. So when he says, what was once an unyielding howling fades, staring skyward towards the tips of lumbering giants, hearing now their loathsome groans, frosted needles inspect your shape as you press through, here in this outland that receives you not. All of a sudden, he changes how we view trees, and he makes them into something a bit intimidating. He says they're lumbering giants, yet they move not. He says they're loathsome groans. It's only because of the wind that causes them to move and make the noise that they do. The entire poem, which, by the way, ends beautifully, how this feeble fire moans to be nourished, beckoning friend and foe and kind to survive a blaze so large that even if it attracts enemies or predators, that's all right, because it's better than the glint of a ragged fire, as he says, staving off its demise, and not easy to survive in the wilderness that he so poetically describes. I thought it was a beautiful poem.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And that was a fabulous comment. Would you like to add anything or tell us anything about your poem, Nicholas?
Yes, if you wouldn't mind. So I wrote this poem to be almost a metaphor for somebody living with depression, somebody who feels like they're trudging through a forest that does not welcome them, and looking around and being full of fear and not knowing where to go, feeling lost in these trees. But you stumble across something that gives you hope, and you cling to it, even though that thing is just like you and just trying to survive. But regardless of the fear you have of what might lie around you, you cling to it. And regardless of what happens to you, you found that, and you can take that away with you.
Nice.
Nicely done. Fantastic. Looking forward to more of your work, Nicholas. Thank you. And now we're ready for our next poem, and hopefully you can hang out with us for a wee bit and comment on some of the poems so you can get a hang of it. All right.
I'd be happy to read another if you like.
Okay. Thank you. And we have such fantastic readers, and we're ready for our next poem. Miss Katie? Katie, you're on mute.
Oh, I'm so glad you didn't hear what I just said. It was absolutely terrible. You would have been shocked. Oh, dear. Okay.
Oh. Party nows are only on Wednesday night.
Oh, I know. Can we not have more of
you
them?
You know what,
man? Okay. I'll be good. Right. Oh, we have Summer by Naomi. Sorry, Naomi. I can't even say your name now. And that has a sound cloud. Who's mm-hmm. Naomi says mute. That's a Gray, I wonder if you might get that for us, please. Is Gray still there? Oh, sorry.
Yes, sorry.
I'm trying to hassle you, hon. Honestly, this thought you might have disappeared.
Oh my goodness, Gray! You sound like you're talking in the bathroom or a subway.
Midsummer.
We got it.
Drifted in on the soft warmth of the July breeze, under patches of violet blue sky. It was then that the petals of the lilac tree that hugged our house darkened to the deepest of purples, and Mom would shake her crunched up little fists after the quickened footsteps of the neighborhood passerbys who'd broken off a few branches to carry a prized bouquet home. As we raced through yards playing hide-and-seek and sketched chalky boxes with big rainbow numbers into the beaten sidewalk for a game of hopscotch, our eyes dancing until laughs bubbled over as we chanted made-up rhymes to every jump and beat of a tired pink skipping rope hitting the cracked asphalt. And every afternoon at 3 o'clock sharp, we crowded to both sides of the street, listening for whistling old Mike, who gave all the kids' gum the flavor of soapy suds in every juicy chew. But what we waited for most was to see the black crow that perched on his shoulder and squawked on command, encircling him as an army of rosy-cheeked, tiny soldiers with mouths of sweet lavender, gawking at the inky feathers and squeaking and squirming at every rustle of wings and caw, caw, caw.
Oh, Naomi, I just want to thank you for this exquisite, beautiful poem of the past of, you know, the way that we grew up as kids is so different from the kids now. You know, skateboards, roller skates, three-wheelers, you know, and also that beautiful, that lavender, people used to come and pick my mom's roses and her tulips and her carnations, and there were some honest kids that would ring the doorbell and actually ask if they could clip some of her flowers, and that just reminded me so much of my mom. And, you know, hopscotch with, you know, we didn't have all these electric and, you know, fancy schmancy toys and stuff. You know, we had to use our bikes. I mean, you always knew where all the kids were because their bikes were in the front yard. And there was nothing like that, you know, somebody that would give you bubble gum. Oh, God, we had a neighbor that did that also. And, you know, these are good memories. And, you know, she brought me back to that time of being in the sun and laying in the grass and looking at the clouds and making shapes out of them. And, you know, especially when somebody had a bird or, you know, because I know Gray Eyes had a crow that recognized him. And then she brought the baby, which crows are very protective of their children and very intelligent. And she brought her baby to get to know Gray and feed him. And it just brought just warm bubblegum feelings. I thought this was absolutely stunning, as it was beautiful. What did you think of her poem, Nicholas?
I thought it was extremely vivid, and it was a nostalgic experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
Reading the author's notes about how it's about making the best of a sunny day, it truly feels like I've been taken back to my younger time, especially with the chalky boxes, sketch chalky boxes with big rainbow numbers into the beaten sidewalk. I may be young, but I do recall those with great vividness and absolutely beautiful piece and very vivid.
Thank you, Nicholas. Excellent comment. And Katie, you're next to comment.
Okay, sorry. I do apologize. I was buzzing up and down. This is beautiful. The nostalgia is just lovely. I did enjoy that, looking back. I mean, I love lilac. I love lilac trees. And it breaks my heart that it's supposed to be unlucky to take the flowers into your home. God, believe, because I love flowers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just thought I'd mention that to cheer everybody up who's been taking them into their house. Yes, she did. As usual, she has this knack of grasping you and taking you with her. If it's naughty and nice, you know, she still has that knack of making you enjoy every bit of it. And this is nothing different in this particular poem either. Whistling Old Mike is great. You know, a place has distinctive people who are known by the children in the area, and he has a black crow. That's incredible. If that's real,
yeah,
I would like to see that. Yeah, well, not that I could, obviously, because that was ages ago. But I think she did a wonderful job on this. Naomi is so lovely, so sweet, so take us all back to our childhood sweet. And I enjoyed it very much. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. And could we please do Titus's poem, because he's been waiting in the group.
Has he? Oh.
Yeah, he's right there. Yes, he's. I know, this page, everything moves so fast with comments that everything
just gets
lost right away.
I hadn't seen it, I didn't realize. But no, it's good that you told me. We can get it in now. Very good.
Okay.
I do well when I'm told what to do. Leave me to my own devices.
I often dropped you. I do accept that the cold of nature in my heart has been encouraged by a wide preconception, hatreds, wholeheartedly mine, for which blame in parts. Some discomfort is shown, it's been invaded, dense as a means to portray what is neglected. You'll have sunlight every day, not to discover the meaning of life. Had you noticed, detected that my darkness undercover shows no other. I'm determined though to find what of sunlight. And for any other there is this smooth lackluster, passionate glimpse, something more than slight. Opening any wonders to why I cannot muster. To penetrate as light by what it feels to gather. That things are holy now to contend myself. If not to forget love around me, a world rather forgotten, it has to impose upon merely health. Others seem unabashed. Where there is mention of money, another ill trait, for which this peril evolves around, it seems there is with intention rising above the other, a hint of whose is feral. A love I can no doubt understand, if being close without you to a touch whereby it were necessary to match for detail spreading, love which grows, dissection of a nature not as sad but just as wary. I continue in the hope of lost abandonment, shy. Why that is, existence is important to the likes. There are moments when unlike dark I can try, with much determined effort sunlight strikes.
Oh my goodness, I just so loved hearing Titus read in his poetry and his author's notes. He says, by spring 1986, my mind mistook with new identity, one which resembled darkness. After evicting Lilith, I chose the drenched climb from dancing doodle ivy, the penchant where Hedrea would lead me to where the light of freedom was in waiting. Titus Llewellyn. And I would love to hear what you thought about the poem, Laurent.
This is such an exquisite depiction of a person who lusts for the ease that most people exhibit in discovering pleasure and love, light, the wonderful things in life. And he says, I'm determined, though, to find what of sunlight, and for any other, there is this smooth lackluster, passionate glimpse, something more than slight, opening any wonder as to why I cannot muster the things that are a little easy for other people, and they take as normal. When he says smooth lackluster, it's, you know, it's ordinary to them, but to him, it's a wonder at the that type of response that he cannot muster. Also, I loved every particular stanza, including that second one, which is just revelatory in its exhibition of language and emotion.
Thank you, Laurent. And Irish Rose?
I'm sorry, I was away, so I didn't get to hear it all, so I'll have to pass.
Okay. Nicholas?
I believe this piece here demonstrates a complete mastery of words, and quite frankly, I was blown away. I especially love the final stanza here, where I continue in the hope of lost abandonment, shy, what that is, why that is, existence is important to the likes. It has an almost hope to it, where in the end, with much determined effort, sunlight strikes. I find that this matches very closely with myself in some ways, and I resonate with it quite a bit. But that end piece right there, that last sentence, I feel like it shows that even in your dark view, you're willing to welcome the light when it comes.
Thank you, Nicholas. Excellent comment. Gray Eyes?
You did a beautiful job on the SoundCloud, as per usual. And, you know, the light is powerful and impactful. It, you know, you can feel the heat rising in it. But we've got 60 seconds left, so I don't know if you want to sign off. But...
Okay. Yeah, I want to thank everybody that called in. I want to thank you, Gray Eyes, and Katie, and Laurent. Of course, Irish Rose, who I'm so happy has joined us lately, Frank, Miriam, Nicholas, Titus, Naomi, Adam, Bill all the time. She's always there. Also, Wasted. Thank you all for listening to the show. I just thought this poem was absolutely beautiful. And, you know, it just shows how somebody can suffer so much when they feel alone. And I'm glad that he's found the light. Katie, would you like to make a quick comment?
Oh, I thought it took my breath away, basically. It's just that simple. It's beautifully done. Oh, flows and so much passion, so much. Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm glad we got to hear it.
Great. Okay, everybody. We'll be back here next week with open poetry and more front page picks. I'll see you next Monday. I love you guys. Besitos. To everybody.
Night,
everybody.